Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
All right, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, where you can get a backstage pass and watch Phil TV in HD right now. And you can also listen to thousands of hours of archived radio shows, our daily radio show, which is a podcast for you, available tomorrow. We also have, I think we have the first hour of each show available free for live streaming, just to kind of, you know, get you into that. So, you know, join us at philhendryshow.com. We have a podcast that we're going to start to do in about 2 weeks. We'll begin podcasting, and that's just an extension of overall kind of, you know, kind of a promotional, as well as a new form of expression, if you will, for our show. So we hope you can join us for all of those, and the podcast is going to be absolutely free. So we hope you enjoy it.
Hope you can join it.
Well, if I say I hope you can join it, that means
you're like a Siamese twin.
Okay, in any event, yeah, okay, in any event, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Joining us right now on our newsmaker line is Dr. Jim Sadler, who had been on the show, was on our show last night, and we've got him on again today. When we had you on last night, Dr. Sadler, you actually had called in, and you were talking... I think you were talking about a man's voice box.
Well, no. Am I on the air now?
Yes.
When I called your program last night, Phil, I was calling in to talk with the gentleman who was upset, Mr. Bonafide, for John. Was talking about the John Edwards.
That's right. Yes. Yes.
I called in to comment on what he was saying about John Edwards, which I thought was very bizarre at the time. I don't remember whether he was saying about John Edwards. I think it was mostly he said something like he was a dumbass magnet.
Yeah, that's right. He was saying that John Edwards was stupid, much like his son.
That's right. His son, who was in Vietnam, he said his son. Well, while I was talking about that, what happened was a man called in who had a laryngectomy, which you say I'm not pronouncing that right, and I'm a doctor and you're not, so I don't know where you get...
Well, sir, it's called a laryngectomy, you know.
Well, really, and you got your medical degree. See,
I don't need a medical degree. The whole reason why we were you know, mocking you a little bit was because you said right there.
The whole reason why you were mocking me is because I said right there. Wow.
No, what you said right there, laryngectomy, that's not a real term, and you're a doctor, and so I said, well, why don't you know that word?
And here was my point. Forget about whether I know the word or not. What I found to be unprofessional and what I found to be another example of the media run amok was you and your guest mocking me. And at one point, your guest even said that he felt I should have a laryngectomy or laryngectomy, as you call it, because of my speech impediment. And he never gave me an opportunity to. I'm not going to talk any better than I do now, but I can if I feel like it. Okay? Do you know that, Mr. Henry?
No, I don't. You can talk better than you do now if you feel like it.
Yeah. That's right.
All right. Well, I don't want to get. I really just want to say this. As a doctor, shouldn't you know how to pronounce these words?
I do, and I didn't think it was going to be an issue. I was talking to two men, and I say this with great kindness, Phil, but I didn't think that the two of you were that intelligent that you would notice the way that I said the word.
All right, so you didn't think I'd know what a laryngectomy is.
No, I didn't think you, too, especially the elderly gentleman, where you guys are going to start to bust my castanets over how I pronounce laryngectomy. I've been to school. I've been to medical school. I know what it is, okay, and I know how to treat certain maladies relative to the larynx, but because I don't pronounce it good...
What is that? Why don't you?
I don't know. I didn't pay it. It wasn't that important to me, okay? It wasn't that. I know what it is. I know how to treat certain maladies, but pronounce, when they take your voice box out, I got to pronounce it good. Why?
Well, if anything, to inspire confidence in your patients, but I would also think that when you get board certified for something...
Then I read up on it, but I don't, it's never been that important to me.
All right, so can I just ask you a question?
Certainly, go ahead. I'm not telling you you can't.
All right, I mean, when they take your appendix out, do you know how to pronounce that?
Mr. Henry, I'm not on your show to be tested, sir.
I know that, but when you tell me that it just wasn't important when you were in medical school to learn how to pronounce these words, and if I went to you... And
well, I wouldn't, again, with respect, I wouldn't have you as a patient.
Why not?
Because I don't need someone coming in and breaking my castanets. I don't need you walking into my office. You know, I don't need it, Mr. Henry.
Well, so I'm just a patient. I'm off the street, and I've got a doctor, a recommendation for you. And
if you start breaking my, you know, if you start picking up on the, hitting on the reception, I'm just saying, isn't that something you'd probably do that, wouldn't you?
Do what?
Start hitting on the receptionist and breaking my you-know-what's because I don't talk good.
Sir, I wouldn't hit on your receptionist, okay?
Oh, okay, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay, I wouldn't hit on your receptionist. If I'm sitting in your office and I'm there to have some treatment done, I may be a little, you know, frankly, doctor's offices make me nervous.
But you never hit on some doctor's receptionist.
I'm not saying that I haven't. I'm just telling you that if I'm going to see you and I sit down in your examination room,
right,
and you come in and you say to me, Mr. Henry, your laryngectomy.
Well, when am I going to say that? You're a radio announcer, and I'm going to come in and I'm going to say, oh, and Mr. Henry, I got to take your voice box out. And what is that, for laughs? And
what if you found out that I had cancer? What if, I mean, I don't know, you know?
Well, if you're a radio announcer and you came into my office and I found out you had throat cancer and I had to give you whatever it's called, okay, like a laryngectomy, I would go look the word up and practice it a few times in my office.
You'd go look the word up and practice it?
Yes, sir, because I know I'd be giving you devastating news. I'm not going to say, Mr. Henry, you have cancer of the throat. I'm going to have to give you a bugger. See, I don't even know. You know, this. Your whole point here...
You know, if you're on a radio show and you can't pronounce the word, you know, people are going to think you don't know what you're talking about.
I could care less. I could care. I called your show to make a comment about some old creep... About an old guy that was talking about,
What, if you don't mind me asking, okay?
What?
What do you call when the appendix comes out?
So in other words, you want to find out...
I want to know, sir, if it's not that important to you, what when you pronounce words...
It's called apexemy, I think. Am I close?
No, you're not even close.
It's called the appendix. I know that.
Okay. Oh, wow. That's great.
Now, look it, sir. I know what I'm talking about.
Okay. So you could diagnose if somebody had appendicitis?
Yes, sir.
But you just don't know what the surgery is called?
I know what it's called. I don't sweat bullets every night looking up how to pronounce it. I'm not at home bleeding. I'm not at home sweating blood. Like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Right. You know when he was sweating blood. I'm not at home doing that. I'm not at home sweating bullets. Oh gosh.
Take a stab at it.
It's called you have your appendix out. It's called having an epididymitis. I don't know.
An appendectomy.
All right.
So. All right. Would you practice that?
Sir, I've answered your questions. I called up for the specific reason that you asked me to, but I also wanted equal time last night. I felt that I was being mocked behind my back.
You were being mocked behind your back. And I'll tell you something else.
So you admit it?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I do admit it.
What a pair you've got.
Okay, but I will tell you something else. When you come on my show and you say, I don't know how to say appendectomy, I can't say larynectomy.
You know all those words, and the reason you do is why? Because you talk on the radio for a living. So you use your mouth for a living. I don't. I use my brains and my skill as a surgeon. And excuse me if I don't know, it's called an appendectomy. Or however they say it. I didn't learn to pronounce it good. If I knew that, for instance, Paul Prudhomme, who was a big fat man, had to have his appendix out, and he wouldn't be able to eat for a few days, I would go and learn how to pronounce that word so he wouldn't be shocked to find out that he had to have an appendix, you know, what they call it.
Okay, so if I had to have my voice box out or Paul Prudhomme had to have his appendix out, you'd practice what the surgery is called, so the two of us would be...
It wouldn't be shocking.
All right, can you hang on for just a second here, Dr. Sadler?
Well, I don't know, because I don't want to be made to look like a horse.
Yeah, hang on for just a minute, Dr. Sadler. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry show with Dr. Jim Sadler. Last night... he's getting his equal time right now.
Get that other guy call, too.
I don't want to talk to the other guy. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Phil here, the world famous Phil Henry Show, on the line here with Dr. Jim Sadler from last night's show. And we did take the liberty, even though I didn't really want to talk to this guy. And there's nothing against talking to you, Mr. Bonafide, but Mr. Sadler wanted to come on the program and talk about how he felt that he hadn't been treated fairly. And I think that you probably needed to hear this.
The reason why I was on your show last night had nothing to do speaking to Mr. Sadler, and my name is Dr. Sadler. All right, Dr. Sadler, I don't mean the man any ill. I'm not trying to... I didn't want to mock you, sir. I just felt that you, like Mr. Henry, I had questions about why you couldn't say larynectomy, and you pronounced it the way you did. And I think I've answered those questions to Mr. Henry's satisfaction. Mr. Henry?
No, I wouldn't say to my satisfaction, but I would say that you've answered the questions. You just didn't take the time to learn how to say those words.
All right. Now, can I say what I want to say? Why was I called onto the program?
Bud Dickman called you of his own volition, even though I said I didn't want him to bother you, okay?
Well, you didn't say that. You said, I don't want to talk to that guy.
What did he say?
Said I don't want to talk to that.
No, okay, that's fine. Whatever I said, it wasn't mean it as a slam on you, Mr. Bonafide. I just wanted to keep this thing simple.
But you didn't want to talk to the old fool, is that it? What it sounded like to me.
No, I didn't say anything of the sort. What do you want to ask, sir?
You're talking to me?
Yes.
Well, now that I have answered your questions the way you want me to answer them, I'd like to ask you a question. You two last night tore into me because I couldn't say laminectomy and all these other words. And during that commercial break, I looked them up, and I've made a commitment to myself as a doctor, so I will know how to say laminectomy. And oh my God, will you listen to this guy? Now I remember who you are. Can I finish what I'm saying, sir?
Let's let him finish. All right.
No, but now I remember who this guy is. He last night everything was larynectomy. That is correct, and that's why they have me on the show to talk about it. That's why they have a digested. All right. All right. You know, I'm done. Thank you. And have a very...
Hold on for a minute. Put Lloyd on hold here. I want to talk to you. Now, go ahead.
Is he on hold?
Yes.
I had asked the people who had... I had asked the people...
All right, let's start all over again.
Yeah! I just broke off a hold, and I'll tell you something...
All right, no more talking to that guy tonight.
What the hell just happened?
Don't worry, no more talking to him tonight.
All right.
I don't want him on the air, I don't want to talk to him tonight, okay? Broke off a hold.
I don't know how he does it, but he did it.
You tell me that guy broke off a hold?
That's what I'm telling you. So let's move on now.
Boy.
Let's move on now. What do you want to ask me, or what do you want to state so that you feel as if you've gotten equal time?
I want to say the following thing. I'm married to a woman who is 30 years younger than me. I am a weightlifter. I have appeared in bodybuilding competitions. I have been a clean and jerk champion.
I'll bet.
Who said that?
Okay, bud, get out of here.
What did he say?
He said, I'll bet.
What?
He's gone.
And see, now I...
All right, so you've been a weightlifting champion.
I've been a weightlifting champion in both the advanced and senior classes. And my wife is 30 years younger than me. I have been in bodybuilding competition.
Get out of here, bud. Get out of here, bud.
Is that the guy that said, I'll bet, when I said I won clean and jerk?
Yes.
It's not about masturbation.
I know, I'm just making a joke.
He said he's making a joke.
Yes, he's making a joke. You don't know that?
All right, let me start all over again. Because I wanted to...
All right, start all over again. This is what you want to say.
I have won bodybuilding competition. My wife is 30 years younger than me.
Were you going to say she's a piece?
Oh, my God, I want to hurt him. And
Bud, would you get out of here?
That's what he said the first time.
I never told you I thought my wife was a piece. If I did, I would never say that to him. I wouldn't say it to him. I might say it to you.
Okay. Let's start all over again and tell us your credentials so that we can know that you are not some fly-by-night guy that can't pronounce words properly.
All right. I have won... God. I won bodybuilding competitions.
I'm sorry, sir.
I won bodybuilding competitions. I have guns on me. I mean, my arms are so well developed that I roll the window down on my car, put my arm out, and my arm's big, and so people back off in traffic. My wife is
30 years younger than you.
I wanted to do it.
Go ahead.
My wife is 30. My wife is...
I'm sorry.
My wife is 30.
So this has been very emotional, huh?
Yes. My wife is 30 years younger than me. I've won bodybuilding competitions.
Yeah.
I was the national clean and jerk champion of the senior class.
In high school?
No, you ass of all.
What? That's what I thought he meant.
You mean senior division as an age group?
Yes.
Well, when you said the clean and jerk in senior class...
I won the clean...
Your wife is 30 years younger.
I hope you die with blood in your mouth.
What did he say?
You don't want to know, man. You don't want to know.
Oh, God. Man, I heard that man out in the other room getting a Coca-Cola. What did he say? He said he hoped Phil died with blood in his mouth. Wow.
Oh, God. I couldn't help it. I was laughing. So he came on for equal time. I don't know if that worked out for him. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show.
My wife is 30 years younger than me.
Phil Henry.
Phil, 877-876-7445. And I know we did cover the John Edwards case last night with Mr. Bonafide, who was also the subject of Dr. Sadler's appearance, return appearance on our show tonight. But we do have a one more bit of John Edwards news. It's really grotesque, man. How do I put this? It's pretty grotesque, and it has to do with the testimony that was in the trial today. And for that information, we'll go to Margaret Gray, who is also, as you know, covering the trial for the Dicklin Syndicate and among a number of other publications. It's also the subject of her column, A Little Bird Told Me, tomorrow morning. And you've been at that trial every day, Margaret. How's it looking out there?
I think it's a fascinating trial. I think it's something that that is going to redound, I think, negatively for John Edwards for the rest of his life and long into the years after John Edwards is with us. This is an unseemly and it's a base and unseemly display for a former United States senator. And a man that was at one time a candidate for the presidency of the United States. In testimony today by Andrew Young, who, as you know, Phil, is the aide. This was a young man who was an aide to John Edwards for a great many years, not to be confused with the former UN ambassador. Andrew Young was on the stand today, and he was quoted. He said, in quoting John Edwards, the former senator referred to Rielle Hunter, a woman that he carried on an affair with, a woman who mothered a child of his. He referred to her as a slut. Now, John Edwards, and this was Andrew...
He called her a slut. This was Andrew Young?
This was Andrew Young recalling a conversation that John Edwards had with him. He said that John Edwards' first reaction when he learned his mistress may be pregnant was to downplay the chance he was the father, calling the woman a crazy slut, according to Edwards. It was the summer of 2007, and John Edwards was in the midst of a presidential campaign. Andrew Young testified that the former North Carolina senator hatched a plan to funnel money from his rich friends to provide the woman a monthly allowance, even though Young said he doubted that it was legal.
And who doubted it was legal?
That Andrew Young doubted it was legal.
Well, did John Edwards doubt that it was legal?
No, the impression that I got, Phil, was that this was something that... that's a good point, but it was something that I thought Andrew Young thought was not legal.
Because the way you just said that, it's as if Andrew Young may have thought it was illegal, but it's the way he was quoted there, you're quoting him, it sounds like he might have been referring to John Edwards.
Well, that is a very good point, and looking at it again, that could very well be. I took it to mean that Andrew Young was asked by John Edwards to pursue this, and Andrew Young himself doubted very much that it was legal. Now, months later, as the story continues, Phil, I don't know if you can hear me, but I'm on I'm not on a cell phone. I'm actually literally on a payphone near, what is this? It's a Stuckey's. If you know what, Stuckey's? Yeah. This is a Stuckey's restaurant. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, they're the restaurants that are primarily down south. They're not restaurants. They're kind of like, are they rest stops? Or?
Well, yes, it's like a rest stop, and they have pecan pie that they're very proud of. And they have all the little trinkets. They've got the little black, well, I don't, what are you allowed to call them? They've got the little black jockey and...
Oh, boy.
Well, I don't know, Phil. It's a place with a phone. Going on, months later, as word of the candidate's affair began to leak in the run-up to the crucial Iowa caucuses, Young said Edwards asked the aide to falsely claim paternity of the baby. So, in other words, John Edwards
wanted Andrew Young to take the fall.
It wouldn't be the fall, but he wanted him to take, yes, responsibility for the baby. Young has been, as you know, the lone witness during the first 2 days of Edwards' criminal trial. The 58-year-old Edwards has pled guilty to all of this nonsense. The exact quote, Phil, is the following line. He said she was a crazy slut, and there was a 1 in 3 chance that it, the child, was his. So this is a very unseemly, it certainly does not bespeak a Southern gentleman, which I think John Edwards would like to think of himself as. It does not bespeak a liberal Democrat senator to refer to a woman as a crazy slut. And then to try to get another man, to take responsibility for paternity when you are the one responsible for that woman being pregnant, and she is as well.
Well, I know, but I take your point, and it's a good point. All of a sudden, this is, you may be the father of her child, but let's face it, she's a crazy slut, and...
it's all her fault. This is particularly heartbreaking for me, Phil, because I was a big John Edwards fan. Much like your guest last night, the gentleman that you had on, the Korean War veteran.
Yeah.
He was, I know, a conservative that liked John Edwards. I've always been a Democrat. I've always been a very liberal Democrat. And I really was an Obama fan. But I liked John Edwards because I felt he was fresh. He was clean. He had a clean, fresh, scrubbed... I don't know. There was... When you looked at him... He looked like, this is going to sound, he looked like he'd been to a dentist. You know what I mean by that, Phil?
Well, not really. I mean, I know he looked like he's got nice teeth,
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, in other words, he looked like the kind of man that you could bring into a room and say, everyone, this is my president. I'm an American, and this is what, this is what we elected. And
so Barack Obama is not that kind of a guy.
I didn't say that at all. Don't, Phil, please don't go down that road.
You were a Barack Obama supporter. I'm just, because the reason why I say...
No, don't go down that road, please. Now,
you remember Joe Biden?
Don't go, Frank.
He doesn't want to talk about it, Phil.
Give me the phone. Okay.
Boy, that's great of you to bring on Frank with his gender confusion for him to simply say that you don't want to talk about it. Fine, I won't talk about it. Joe Biden said the same thing.
Oh, God, Frank.
He doesn't want to talk about Joe Biden. Why'd you bring her up?
Thank you. Okay?
He doesn't want to talk about Joe Biden. Why'd you bring her up? So now begins...
Phil, he's got gender confusion.
I know that. But now begins the deterioration of this conversation, like has happened all night tonight with everybody that I've had on the air.
What are you talking about?
I'm just simply saying I won't bring it up.
Good. Thank you. Don't bring it up. Where was I? I am a committed supporter of President Barack Obama. He is a handsome, well-spoken, wonderful American president. I just felt before Obama was, at the tip of everyone's tongue, very rapidly Barack Obama became the it guy. So, yes, I supported him.
So before he became the it guy, you were a John Edwards fan.
See, now you're making it sound as if I'm some sort of a flyby, like I go with fads and trends. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, Ms. Gray, you're saying that you were not originally a Barack Obama fan, but you were a John Edwards fan because he was crisp and clean.
I didn't say, what do you mean crisp?
You said he was crisp, clean.
He was fresh and crisp, yes.
Fresh and crisp.
No, you're making it sound like I think he's a head of lettuce, Phil. Let's grow up. I think, you know, that's pretty funny, crisp and...
Fresh and, yeah, it does sound like a head of lettuce. All I'm saying is you liked him before you liked Barack Obama.
Yes, before Barack Obama. You had to vote for Barack Obama at some point. If you were a Democrat, you had to, especially if you live in this town and you're a liberal.
Okay, so, you know, you had to go along with your liberal friends. And
no, I'm not saying that. Let's just drop it. I was a John Edwards fan because I found him crisp and clean. All right?
Okay. All right.
What do you mean, you just what?
I don't know what crisp and clean means.
You don't know what fresh and clean and well-groomed means?
I know what those three things are, yes.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. His teeth are brushed. His breath is fresh. Do you understand?
Yes, the man's personal grooming is fantastic, and I will even go one better, although I don't think you said it. He's handsome.
Yes, he was very, and remains very handsome, yes.
And looks like, all right, so that's why you liked him.
Well, that makes me sound like a facile and empty and shallow ass, and that's not what I am. But I'm saying I liked him. And so, therefore, when I heard these things come out in the trial today, I was very disappointed. I could well imagine, in another world, in another time, on another planet, in another life, that John Edwards and I, let's say, got together. And that this is just a for instance.
Okay.
And let's say I'm pregnant with his child, and I find out that he's called me a slut. And there's a 1 in 3 chance that he's the father. Let's say that that's the case.
All right.
You know, I go and I find him, and I beat his ass bloody. That's what I do. Okay, but that didn't happen to me, so I don't have to beat his ass bloody. And excuse my language, but that's what I would do. And my hat is off to Riel Hunter if I wore a hat, which I don't. But if I were a man, and I wore
You wore a hat.
Well, yes, but I'm getting sidetracked. But if I were a man and I wore a hat, my hat would be off to her. If John Edwards said that I was a slut with a 1 in 3 chance of being the mother of his child, I'd find him and beat him till he urinated blood for a year. You understand?
Yes, I very much do understand. I can understand there's great anger. And
well, any woman would be.
Absolutely, and I to be honest with you, were she my sister... Okay.
Right.
And I heard that a guy was talking about my sister that way. Whether he was a U.S. senator or not, I'd have some issues with that. So I understand.
But you understand what I meant about him urinating blood for a year. You got that?
Yes, I got that.
Well, what do you think about that?
What am I supposed... I don't understand. Why are you asking me that?
Well, I wondered if that got to you. See, this isn't just about John Edwards. This is about... Any man that thinks he's going to talk about a woman that way...
I get it, Margaret. I get it. I get it. Your response is angry and violent. And would be you would visit physical violence on the man that talked that way about you.
That's right.
And that's what you think.
That's exactly what I think, yes.
If I were you, I would be very careful, though. This man was a former, candidate... And
oh, what are you, the Secret Service, I'm not saying literally, I'm saying that were this another world, if we lived in an alternative universe, if I lived on a planet where there was green air, and let's say we were Vulcans, and...
Okay, I get it, all right, it's you're being very fanciful, it is a hypothetical, you're talking about this in ways that you don't believe would ever actually occur, but you want me to know and my audience to know how angry you would be if that happened.
Exactly. And the fact also that I voted for...
Yeah, I get it. Okay. Thank you very much, Margaret. To me, it sounds like you're taking a little too personally.
I knew he'd say that.
Did you know that he went out with her once?
Thank you. Did you know that?
Why are you having Frank tell me this? So you went out with John Edwards?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Margaret. I got to get going.
Oh, so you think I'm a...
877-876-PHIL. How many is that?
That's the fourth person you've hung up on tonight.
Four people we've hung up on tonight. That's great. One of them busted off hold. That was Lloyd.
I think another one told me, oh, one hung up on me. That's right. That was Dr. Jim Sadler, who said he hoped I died with blood in my mouth. Fantastic. And someone else hung up on us with the final words, I hope you get leprosy. Is that it?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to be back here on the world. Boy, my guests love me. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
So I'm the only one you hung up on tonight.
Phil Hendry Show.
It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We are online at philhendryshow.com. Good to have you with us tonight. Now, last night, we were talking, as a matter of fact, with Mr. Bonafide, Mr. Sadler. At one point, I think the name Melon came up. It was Bunny Melon. And we got who?
David Hall went to.
David, what can we do for you, man?
Hey, listen, I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt the program, Phil, but I did have a comment to make, and I hope that you can help me here. I have listened to you hang up on a lot of guests this evening. I'm wondering what that's about. Yeah, give me another coffee.
You've heard me hang up on... I've hung up on one guest.
I heard you hang up on Ms. Gray here.
Yeah, I had to hang up on her because she was going on and on about John Edwards and how she'd beat him until he peed blood. And I don't know, man. I don't like that kind of conversation. She's talking about a public personality, a man that ran for president.
Yeah, no, I understand that. You could have told her. And no, I don't want that. Give me the cappuccino. You could have told her that you didn't appreciate the way she described things, but you hung up on her. And, of course, when you hang up on that woman, I'm the first person she calls.
And so she called you?
Yes, she called me. And I asked her what happened, and she said you hung up on her while you were talking to her about John Edwards.
Well, we were pretty much done with our conversation with her.
Well, what do you mean?
She's covering the John Edwards trial. We had her on. She was editorializing quite liberally, saying that, you know, John Edwards apparently was quoted on in the trial today by his aide as saying, Riel Hunter's a slut.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, that's pretty heavy. And she goes, yeah, she was really angry, or she sounded angry about it.
Well, she's a reporter. She's not supposed to be angry.
Well, she sure sounded angry.
Well, no, you misinterpreted. She was being pointed.
Well, what do you call saying that if he was her boyfriend, she'd beat him until he peed blood for a year?
That is a reporter's prerogative, obviously, to interpret how that might feel for someone other than Riel Hunter. But I don't think that to say that she's angry, she's a professional reporter.
Wait a second, man. Hold on.
Oh, okay, man. You know, I really don't like it when you get into that beatnik thing.
What beatnik thing?
Hey, man. Whoa, man.
Well, you'll pardon me, David, but it's a that's how I was raised. That's who the people I came up with said that word a lot. Excuse me, okay?
Well, I wasn't, all right? I was raised properly, and I don't say, hey, man. Hey, you know?
Yeah, okay. Good for you.
Don't get pissed off.
Well, you know what? You're getting me sidetracked here. I won't say man, but what I said was... I said, Ms. Gray, you sound like you're getting angry. I said, you're talking about beating this guy up. I would rather you not, you know, you are talking about John Edwards, a former U.S. senator and candidate for the presidency of the United States. And
Wait, the presidency? What's that?
The presidency, okay?
Sorry.
I'm at the end of my rope here tonight. You understand? I've been talking to so many dumbasses tonight, you wouldn't even believe it. You wouldn't believe it if I explained it to you in detail.
All right, I apologize.
One dumbass after the next tonight, okay? So she says to me, well, Mr. Hendry, I'm just saying in an alternative universe.
Yeah, well, that's what she said. She told me that she said to you she wasn't speaking literally. She was speaking if she were born in a parallel dimension. And she went on to explain what she meant by that. She quoted Isaac Asimov.
And
well, there's no need to quote Isaac Asimov. I know what she's talking about. In other words, if she was somebody else, I understand that.
I will see that you're getting this. This is what she was afraid of. This tension. This tense thing that you're showing here.
There's no tension that I'm showing, David. I understand. You don't have to get into a whole explanation from Isaac Asimov as to what she means by a parallel dimension.
So you saw the Twilight Zone. And
what Twilight Zone, man? I'm talking about...
The one where the little girl falls to the hole in the wall. Just hold on, will you?
Okay, yeah. I saw that.
That's what she means. If she'd fallen out of bed through a hole.
Yeah, I get it.
So you saw it?
Yes, I saw it.
Well, then why were you giving her a hard time?
David, I wasn't giving her a hard time. I simply said... Look at this. Now we're out of time.
And even though you saw that Twilight Zone...
What? You know something, man? We're going back 50 years now to a Twilight Zone. 90% of the people don't even know what the hell it is you're talking about. Okay?
They don't know, baby. But you know something? Ever heard of DVD?
Yeah.
So you don't think they bought that one with the little girl goes through the hole in the wall? I bet you they did.
Get out of here. That's another person I just hung up on, David Hall. And if he calls back, I don't want to talk to him. Okay, bud?
I got it.
Thank you.
Now, another thing.
Will you get... We'll be right back, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.